Cruising down the street, I wonder where this road would lead. So many possibilities. Care to share what you think? Oh, noodles, what do you see? Backroad Odyssey.
Van Life Diaries. Why I do this. My name is Noah, and in Van Life Diaries, every month I get a bit personal. No edits, no music, no script, just me, my dog, a microphone, and you. I live in a van as I record this podcast, so I discuss my experiences on the road, pull up clips from previous episodes, talk about struggles I have, successes, and everything in between. At the end of each Van Life Diary, I'll take questions from listeners that can be anything from van life questions to personal questions to questions about the show's past and future. So with that said, I'm going to go grab a drink. If you're in the position to do so as well, grab a cold one, alcoholic or not, and let's hang out. See you in a bit. Let's start with this question. Why do I do this? So, Backroad Odyssey came from an idea that anywhere you go can be interesting and is interesting. I grew up in Iowa, notoriously referred to by many people as flyover country. And I'll admit, I myself have been guilty of the you're not missing much response when asked about my hometown. But I found, especially after living out of a van for the last year and a half and actively searching for interesting places to be, that really anywhere you go is and can be absolutely fascinating. From LA to Iowa to Alabama to New England. The idea that adventure, culture, importance depends upon an impressive skyline is just wrong. It is, and I hope to change that perception with Backroad Odyssey. So I want to talk a little bit about how I got to where I'm at now, living out of a van with my dog. I went to business school for 2 years. I wasn't very happy doing that, so I transferred to film school, graduated film school. I was searching for something other than what I went to school for, really. I couldn't see myself in LA, so I moved somewhere else, became a photographer, a waiter for a little bit, and was there, and then I moved back to Chicago. So looking back, I've always had this idea that I was searching for something, and I never knew what that was. I was bouncing from town to town, different jobs. My degree didn't do anything for me, or rather, I didn't do anything with my degree. And I was sitting there after being a photographer for a while, for weddings, for real estate, and I was just sad. I was depressed. I didn't know what to do. And I saw that people could work out of their vans. People could live in vans. And that idea that you could search for something while traveling really, really, really interested me. And so eventually, I mean, I worked towards that. And then I got a van. For the last year and a half, I've been doing a beer podcast called The Beer Nomad. But about 7 months ago, I noticed that every town that I would go to, every brewery that I'd go to, around it were very interesting places. And I love history. I love talking about it. I love looking into it. And that's something that really, really drew my eye. And they often weren't in larger towns. They were small towns with these remarkable and interesting places. And nobody was talking about them. The first episode, for example, the Beely Clocks, my entire life, I lived 2.5 hours away from the museum, and I'd never been to it. And that story's just freaking fascinating. And then the Jesse James Museum, I was on my way to a beer interview, and I saw a sign that said, his house is over here. And so that's how that snowballed. into what ended up being Backroad Odyssey. In the third episode, The Lone Toilet, I was with friends in San Francisco, and they mentioned it. I was already thinking about doing this show by then, so I wanted to go and actively search it out. So I went, I passed it, and you can miss it in a second. It's just like you drive right past it. So I missed it, then I had to do a U-turn and go back towards it. But then you have to find parking to be able to, you know, walk towards it, because it's a marsh. It's literally like I described. It's a toilet in the middle of a marsh. So after the U-turn, I go back and I eventually find parking. But here's the thing. You can't tell that it's a marsh from far away because the grass is so tall. And I forget why I was wearing my good shoes and I was dressed up that day for some reason. But I'm like, oh yeah, I can just walk there. But I start walking there and realize that the further I walk towards the toilet, it gets muddier and muddier. And then I see a creek, and then I see puddles, and it doesn't look good. So I'm standing here right by the lone toilet. I wore my nice shoes, and I didn't realize it was a bog that you had to run into. I'm crossing this bridge currently, and it is wild. I'm halfway there at that point, so I keep going. I go there and look at the toilet, and it's just a toilet. You know, it's an outhouse. That's what it looks like. At this point, I didn't know anything about the history. I didn't know anything about all the stories surrounding it. So I think once I did the research, especially for these first three episodes, I think that's why I do the show. Things that you see that if you didn't research, if you didn't look into, would be unremarkable. But when you look into them, they become absolutely fascinating. That's why I do the show. All right, here are some listener questions. Another question: what has been the most beautiful state to drive through? I can answer this in a couple different ways. There's either drives that are dramatic, that are absolutely stunning, and there are drives that are comforting and still beautiful. You know, there's mountain drives where you go up and down and you don't feel entirely comfortable, but it's beautiful. And then there's rolling hills and that kind of landscape. And I prefer the latter, if I'm going to be honest. So this might surprise people, but Kentucky, around Lexington, the hills with all of the horses are just a gorgeous place to drive through, genuinely. But if you're looking for more of a dramatic landscape, Wyoming and New Mexico with that endless sky, California, I mean, the West, it's unparalleled, really. If you could pick one famous person, dead or alive, to join you on the road for a week, who would it be and why? Michael Palin from Monty Python. He had a travel series after he did Flying Circus and journaled everywhere he went. He is a bit of a role model for me. I think he would be wonderful company to have on the road for a week. Did you get noodles because people thought it was strange seeing you talk to yourself? I'd say I didn't get noodles because of that, but she definitely helps with that. I got noodles because I wanted a friend on the road. I wanted a companion. I wanted to take care of someone and have that reciprocal relationship, because there are so many nights when you're by yourself in your van that it's just that. You're by yourself in your van in a Cracker Barrel parking lot. You're done with work. There's nobody really to talk to or to interact with. And I'm so grateful that Noodles is here. But yes, yeah, it was strange talking just into my phone with no other interactions. That's a clever observation for sure. Interesting question. What do you do to ensure you have privacy and security at night? I was very, very bad at this to begin with. I think once you live in a van, you have to live it, right? I mean, there's only a certain amount of research and TikTok reels that you can watch. There's only a certain amount you can do before you actually have to do it and spend the night in places. And sometimes it's not great. Sometimes it's okay. But there are a couple measures that I take. If I'm staying at a Cracker Barrel or a Walmart or a parking lot of any kind, I make sure I'm by light. I make sure there's a camera nearby, and I talk to the manager beforehand, and I'm like, hey, is it okay if I stay here? Because nobody wants that dreaded knock at the door at 1 a.m., which has happened a couple times for me. But otherwise, I use an app called Harvest Host. You can stay at farms, you can stay at houses, breweries, wineries, for an annual fee. But those are pretty safe to begin with. So those are the steps, generally, that I'll take. And campgrounds, obviously, are fine. Very, very, very interesting question here. If your van was a DeLorean, which time period would you go back to in American history? Now, this, I'm going to really have to think about. Not at all, actually. I'd say 1774. The build-up to the American Revolution. I think seeing the different factions within the colonies would be absolutely fascinating. How do you take showers? A combination of things. In my van, I can take a shower. Planet Fitness is my go-to. And if I ever need to record a couple episodes at once, I'll go to a campground who has showers. But those are the three. I like this question a lot. What brings you the most joy? I have to start with my family and noodles. But in terms of the show, I'd say going somewhere and being kind of underwhelmed while I'm there, right? But I want to still do it for the show. Then I go back and do research, and then my mind is just blown, because that to me epitomizes what I want the show to be. And the feeling that I get when that happens is what I hope happens when you're listening or decide to go to one of these places. All right, that's it for Van Life Diaries. Once a month, I'll go over the last couple episodes that I've done. I'll answer viewer questions and just hang out. For the record, I don't know if anyone's a beer person, but I'm drinking Julius from Treehouse Brewing Company in Massachusetts. Very good. And yeah, that's it. That's what these episodes look like. It's just me talking, answering questions, reflecting on the last couple episodes. I genuinely hope you enjoy. If you enjoy the regularly scheduled episodes or episodes like this, please rate and subscribe. It will help us grow. Continue doing what we're doing. I appreciate you all. Where to next? Back Road Odyssey.